Good morning. Wow, looks different from up here. There's more of you than I thought. It's wonderful. Well, this morning my message is about hidden treasures in God's Word. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we have the opportunity once again to speak your word. And Lord, may it be your word, not my word. We ask that each person here who needs you this morning, that a blessing will be given to them, Father. Especially those who have hearts that are heavy, hearts that are lonely, hearts that are broken, hearts that are lost without you. Touch them this morning, Father. Touch them and bring them to yourself. So we ask you, Lord, once again, to bless your word as it goes forth and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, there are wonderful, exciting, encouraging, and interesting things about the Bible. It is a treasure house of gems to be discovered and savored. It contains jewels of knowledge and wisdom. Also, knowing our Bible is essential to our spiritual growth. So if you have your love letter from God with you this morning, that's good. It will help you to become more familiar with Scripture as you read it for yourself. We try to encourage that here. So let's read a few verses from Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. It's great to hear paper shuffling here. Okay, Proverbs chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. If you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's a promise. And you can see the emphasis here on receive, treasure, incline, apply, cry out, seek, and search. Then over in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, that our hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we read here of treasure, silver, riches, and hidden treasures. For me, reading and studying the Bible is like coming to a mine entrance and seeing a gem, something shiny, on the ground at the entrance. And picking it up, I look at it and I'm thankful for it. I'm looking at it and being grateful and savoring it. And then I see another glint inside the door. And I pick that up and it's another gem. And I see other gems beyond me, and as I go into this mine, I find more and more of them. And what pleasure I have in finding it. And some of these gems are easy to find, some are a little more difficult, and some I have to even dig for. So this is an illustration for me about getting into the Bible, getting into that mine, that place of precious stones. It has been said of God's word that it's shallow enough that a child can play in it and not drown. But it's also deep enough that scholars can swim in it and never reach bottom. The further and deeper we go, the more we find. And before long, we have a collection of these precious stones, these treasures of knowledge and wisdom. So today I want to share with you some of these gems of wisdom. Are you ready to go treasure hunting? Good. These are from the Old Testament, which is a vast storehouse of precious stones. And I'm going to concentrate specifically this morning on the subject of manna. You probably know what that is. And if you don't, you may be asking, what is it? Well, you'd be perfectly right. It is commonly taken as being derived from a Hebrew word meaning an expression of surprise. What is it? That's what manna is. One source of information says that a food referred to as manna is linked with the gum resin produced by several kinds of trees found today in the Sinai Peninsula that yields only about 1,000 pounds a day. It, however, does not meet the conditions or have the same characteristics as does the miraculous manna of the Bible. It is estimated, now this is an estimate, depending on how many people we're talking about, that some 3,000 tons of this heavenly manna was required every day for 40 years, to feed an estimated 2 million people. This was indeed a miracle. In Psalms, it is called grain of heaven and bread of angels. In 1 Corinthians, it's called spiritual food. And Hebrews tells us that manna was kept in a golden vase in the Ark of the Covenant. When God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, out of their lost condition, they were to go to the Promised Land. It was a land to be possessed by them, the land flowing with milk and honey. That was their destination. That was God's will for them. After about 1 month on their journey, they came to a place called the Wilderness of Sin, which brings us now to our text this morning. So if you have your Bible, you may wish to open it again to Exodus chapter 16. Thank you, Kevin, for reading that. I'll be referring to it often, along with a couple of other verses. So we've just heard from these verses about some of the physical characteristics of manna. But now I want to shift our focus to some biblical hidden treasures about manna. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 47 to 51, we find our first treasure. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. So here we read about our first gem. The first thing about manna is that Jesus here is identifying himself with the manna in the desert that kept the Israelites physically alive when they received it and ate it. When we receive Jesus, the bread of life, he does more for us. He gives us eternal life when we receive him and take him into our lives. This wilderness manna is a type of Christ. And just as manna was abundantly poured out, so also Christ, who does not give himself sparingly, is also abundantly poured out. Poured out for us, to be with us daily, and to guide us and meet our every need. Manna nourishes the body just as Jesus nourishes the soul. So the second treasure, the children of Israel came out of Egypt and were complaining that their hunger was for the food of Egypt. That's in verse 3. It says there, they hungered to sit by the pots of meat and eat bread to the full. Their mental image of what to expect after leaving Egypt was based on their past situation, their former life and lifestyle. However, God didn't give them that food. What they received was far different. And we, as God's children, are often like them in our spiritual journey, wanting to enjoy the things of our former life when we were in bondage to sin and its consequences. Things that should now be beyond our desires and expectations. We are not to live as we did in our pre-Christian life, any more than they were expected to yearn for the things of Egypt after they were delivered from the bondage of slavery. But now, as they did, we need to eat and be nourished in a new way. We are now in a new life and a new walk, as were these Israelites. And God is seeking to guide us and teach us along the way to do what? To be dependent upon Him, whatever our circumstances may be. That was one of the important lessons God was teaching the Israelites in their wilderness journey, to depend on Him. God answers prayer, right? And God meets our needs, but often in ways we do not expect. And the answers are not necessarily based on our wants and expectations. When prayers aren't answered the way we expect, or problems and trials come into our lives, rather than place blame and complain and find fault with God or others, wouldn't it be better instead to ask, Lord, what can I learn from this experience? Or, Father, if it's from Him, what are You trying to teach me? Or, how can I glorify You in this? So the third treasure, something interesting happened that caused them to exercise faith. Here in verse 4, God made a promise. He said to rain down bread from heaven. This raised their expectations, something for them to look forward to, which in turn caused them to exercise faith, first by believing and trusting God, and next by obeying and doing what God said to do. And what was that? To go out and gather a certain quota for every day, to take only a day's worth at a time. What is God doing here? He is testing the Israelites. He says, as He says here in verse 4, that I may test them, whether they will walk in My law or not. Our obedience is also tested. And when we do exercise faith by trusting and obeying Him, we are walking in His will. Then we go to another one. They were told to gather a portion daily. In verse 4, God says, gather enough for that day. Yesterday's bread goes bad. As they, so we also need a fresh portion each day. Jesus says in His model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, give us today our daily bread. Not weekly, not monthly, but daily. Too often we try to live our lives relying on yesterday's or last week's time spent with God and His Word. Old bread, yesterday's bread. God knows what is best for us. And Scripture makes it very clear that we can go hungry in our spirit without this daily portion of Jesus, our heavenly manna. Yesterday's time with the Lord is past. Let's pick up another treasure. Something wonderful happens here. God says in verse 7, in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord. That to me is Shekinah glory. And what were they going to see? They would see the manna, this miracle from God. This was life-giving bread, just as Jesus is life-giving bread, represented by this heavenly manna. And just as manna for them was the glory of God, so too for us, Jesus is the glory of God. They didn't have to pay for it or work for it. Manna was a free gift from God, just as Jesus is a free gift from God today. We don't have to pay for it or work for it. Our salvation is a free gift. Amen? Amen. This is so well said in Romans 6:23. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So far we've picked up 5 gems. The next one is, notice that the manna came noiselessly in the night, verses 14 and 15, just as Christ comes into us, not in the wind, not in the fire, not in the earthquake, but without fanfare or noise, He enters us in the person of the Holy Spirit when we open our hearts to receive Him as our Savior. Many of our blessings come from quiet times with the Lord. We need to, as Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. We need these times of fellowship with Him for spiritual refreshment. Just as the earth was open and receptive to receive the manna, so also when we are open and receptive, Christ makes Himself known to our innermost being. Next treasure. Another thing about manna is it is a mystery. A mystery. Verse 15. It was a mystery to them. They asked, "What is it?" They didn't know. They didn't understand it, but they ate it anyway without trying to solve the mystery of manna, and it sustained them and gave them life. Just as Jesus, who came down from heaven, is a mystery. We cannot fully understand the mystery of the true bread of heaven, Jesus, yet we partake of Him in faith for spiritual refreshment and life. Next treasure, in verse 16 to 18, the Israelites did as they were told. They gathered, some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, or approximately two quarts or one and a something, 2 liters, he who gathered much had nothing left over. And he who gathered little had no lack. Didn't do without. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. Each got just the amount they needed. Each got just the amount they needed. And there's a very important lesson in this one, for me at least. When we seek the Lord's will, when we are hungry for His word and hungry for those hidden treasures, He will reveal to us gems of wisdom and knowledge. But only to the extent that we are able to absorb them, understand, and appreciate them. You probably have times, as I do, and when we come across a scripture or someone tells us something about the Bible, suddenly we say, "Oh, now I understand that. I've read that scripture many times. I've heard that lesson many times, but I never really got it." And suddenly you get it. Had that experience? Right. Okay, this is the Holy Spirit teaching us, and it only happens as we thirst for the Word and spend time in His precious mine of jewels. The more time we spend in the Word, the more it will be opened and revealed to us. And we read that in Proverbs 2, and that's a great scripture to read sometime later today or tonight, that Proverbs chapter 2. So God reveals His Word to us. He helps us to understand these gems of wisdom and knowledge the more we open our hearts and lives to Him and the more we get into His Word, get into that mine of precious jewels. Just a couple more now. As much as God met their needs and gave them directions, they still disobeyed Him. Verses 27 and 28. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. Remember, they were told to gather enough on the sixth day for 2 days. Well, some of them didn't do it, and the Lord was not pleased with this. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws?" God expects us to listen to Him, to do what He asks. Now, I'm not talking here about the Sabbath, okay? That was given to the Israelites, not to the Christians. And we might think, when we see what's happening here with these folks who disobeyed God, we might think, bad Israelites, bad Israelites. How could they do that after receiving such clear instructions? How would I feel or you feel if God said that to you or me? Ouch, He just did in this scripture. He just did. Well, I guess I, for one, can say, "I'm guilty, Lord, of that." The last treasure here, by no means the last treasure in Scripture, but the last treasure this morning about manna, is found in verse 31. Manna was like coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And in Numbers 11:8 it says, its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. Now, we're not talking about crude oil here. We're talking about sweet oil. Sweet oil. We see here God's spiritual message in the oil and the honey. In the Bible, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and many references are found throughout the scriptures about this. Here in the manna, oil represents the gift of God's Holy Spirit to those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is the birthright of forgiven sinners. And honey speaks of his constant incentive for us to get moving and to go into Canaan. The honey of God is God's reminder that this is just a foretaste of better things to come, sweeter things to come, that he has prepared for us. Remember, he wants us to possess a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, spiritual Canaan. That's where the children of Israel were to go, to Canaan. That was their destination, but they turned it down and continued to wander in the desert for an additional 38 years. God wants you and me to live in spiritual Canaan now, this very moment, here this morning, each day, every moment of each day. He wants us to be in spiritual Canaan. That's where he determines us to be. And where you say is that? Where is spiritual Canaan? Spiritual Canaan is living in the will of God. Spiritual Canaan is walking in his will each day. This is the place for us, flowing with milk and honey. That's where he wants us to be, and that's where the blessings are. So our challenge today and every day is this: to enter into spiritual Canaan rather than choose to be what I call wilderness Christians, someone wandering outside of God's will. Today's message teaches me that he wants me to follow him, to be dependent upon him, to obey him, to feed on his word, and to abide in Jesus, the bread of life. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We have spoken it from this pulpit, Father. And we're praying, Lord, that it is touching hearts. We pray, Lord, that those in need of anything from you, Father, will find it here this morning. So, Lord, bless it to our hearts and our lives. And help us, Father, to understand the things that are in Scripture. Help us to read it more. Help us to pray over it more. Help us to study it. Help us to put it in our lives and hearts so we can say, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need your word, Father. Help us not to change it, distort it, interpret it to satisfy our wants. Keep it holy and pure in our lives. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.